Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
We are in for something special.
This is Triple M.
It's the weekend. Our favourite time of the week. Every exhilarating moment live.
Here on digital radio and on the Triple M app.
For Ream Hot Water, this is Triple M Footy.
Oh yes, good afternoon. Welcome right across the Triple M network. Triple M NRL Grand Final special today. We've got two teams left after, of course, the Roosters beat the Storm 14-6. The Raiders beat South 16-10. Grand Final now sees the Roosters going for back-to-back. And, of course, the Raiders going for their first win since 1994. But we'll get to all that. We're going to obviously talk about both those sides. We're going to compare the 89 Raiders side to this current side. We're going to talk about everything else that's going on in the NRL as well. So if there's any club news with your club, we'll cover off on all that. But the grand final's the big issue. Brownie, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Gordy Tallis. Nathan Brown, welcome back to you.
Hey, Maroon.
Well, you're getting so much good feedback about having you on every week. So you're back by popular demand.
Oh, it sounds terrific, mate. Sounds terrific. Hopefully, I keep being more popular and you keep bringing me back, Maroon.
We just want to make sure you got money in petrol in the tank and food in the cupboard. That's all. Paul Kent from NRL 360.
Hello, Anthony. It's good to see Brownie's in demand somewhere.
Yes, it is. The jokes have started already.
The old Triceratops himself, James Hooper. Welcome.
How are you, Anthony? You look like you just double dumped a couple of rockets. You're flying.
I am. I've had a good night's sleep, mate. I watched the footy last night and the night before. I've had a couple of nights at home. No Chinese food because the Rabbitohs lost, but I had a pizza last night. That was pretty good. And live from our brand new studios in the Gordon Tallis suite in Brisbane, Gordon Tallis, welcome.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we?
Fantastic. And I saw you on Fox League the other night in a suit, and I thought you might have come straight from court, but no, apparently you all had to wear a suit.
No, I got your text messages, actually, and Vonnie didn't appreciate them, actually.
Yeah, well, I didn't say anything
nasty.
She's
a professional, mate.
That's what it was. She wouldn't appreciate that sort of malarkey. She goes, why do you show her so much respect? I said, because she's professional. She's got a good job.
Well, that's all right. That hurts. But look, don't worry about that. Let's keep it to the footy. Luke Keary has been cleared to play in the grand final. Injury concerns for the Roosters. Will Jake Friend play? All this and more we're going to discuss. The grand final, Raiders-Roosters here as Triple M rocks the grand final. We've got Nathan Brown. We've got Paul Kent, James Hooper. Gordy Tallis, Maroon is my name. Last night, the Roosters beat the Storm 14 points to 6, which brought them into the NRL Grand Final and a chance to go back-to-back. The first time a team has done it since the Broncos back in 92-93. So let's just talk about the game first of all. Brownie, as from the point of view of a bloke who's coached NRL this year, it was a brutal game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought both the games, if you look at both games, that pretty much come down to the two winning sides just save the most tries for me. That's basically what it come down to. I don't think any side last night was way better than the other. I thought Canberra were probably a touch better than South, but I still think at the end of the day, you know, the sides that saved the most tries and scrambled the best were the sides that got over the line. The other thing was both the sides that won the game both scored a try from a kick and the losing sides didn't.
What about last night in particular? There was a lot of controversy, PK, to come out of the game, but first of all, how did you see it, mate? As Brownie said, both entertaining games. A lot of people would subscribe to the opinion, I think, that the grand final winner was going to come out of last night's game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think everybody, yeah, the betting markets all reflected that. You've only got to listen to the people talking about the game who are the experts in the game. Most people think that it's the Roosters or Melbourne. I thought last night, but the controversy was interesting, but
what controversy?
Well,
the sin bins early.
Yeah, this is what I think we need to understand as a footy nation. People complained last night about those two blokes going to the sin bin. Okay, now we have this thing in the game, and it's an argument, and people don't understand. I think that these two terms are mutually exclusive. You can't have consistency, and you can't have feel. You can't have them both.
What about interpretation?
Well, interpretation comes into it as well. but that's you know.
Yeah.
And like, if they'd not been sin bin for, and look, they're at the lighter end of slappings, right? Yeah. But everyone says, oh, it's a final. Let them get on with it. Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. But then straight away you get people saying, hang on, the week before Cameron got sin bin, Cody Walker got sin bin.
Yeah.
So where's the consistency?
In the old days, when
you can't have both.
When Gordon played, it would have been embarrassing. Like, he obviously touched up Ben Ross.
But that's because we've ruined the game.
Yeah, mate, that's not the finals. The sin binnings were soft, and as I'm sitting there not liking it, but it set the standard for the game. There was no more running in. There was no one else niggling. Both teams were allowed to play their style, and there wasn't that push and shove all night. And as hard as what it was, mate, it was over and done with. Like, all the build-up, it was going to be fiery. Can't do that. Go off. And I actually didn't like the send-off, but a great game of footy played out.
No one got an advantage out of it, though. They both lost an explosive front rower.
Yeah.
And for the same amount of time.
So, and the referee set the standard for the game.
It didn't cost anyone the game.
As much as 20, 30 years ago, it's incredible to think where the game's at now. But having said that, they drew
on society. That's where we're at.
I accept that, Paul. But
you pick on Anthony and you get caught in front of HR. Like,
oh, well, 30 years ago,
it was a sport.
I actually only just finished in Jeff Johnson's office. Mate. I thought we weren't going to mention that this morning, but I've only just walked out of Jill's office earlier. But at least they drew a line in the sand, Brownie. And then off the back of that, they let a lot go. Like, there was a lot of niggle. They don't like each other, those sides. And obviously, there's a grand final spot at stake, but they were into one another.
And I don't think either coach would be, if Melbourne had found a way to score a try and beat the Roosters, I don't think Trent Robbins would have been saying the referee cost us the game, and I don't think Craig Bellamy be waking up today saying the referee cost us the game. I think we all saw a game of footy we enjoyed watching, just like the night before. The two teams that won both the games were probably a fraction better than the teams that got beaten. That's how it should be.
What about the Luke Keary? We all had a bit of a chuckle, didn't we, at the TV, the Luke Keary hair pull on Kafusi, and he came away with a handful of hair. But if you haven't heard the news yet, and rightfully so, Luke Keary is clear to play in the grand final hoops.
He is clear to play. I think he's been issued with a fine, Luke. And
for a careless high tackle, though, which I tend to think it's not the hair. It was what followed after it.
Oh, it was a careless high in there.
He did get hold of him.
In fairness, Kafusi did jiu-jitsu chop him to the head, and it was an open hand. But
that's a baseless allegation, Hoops. The Storm will heavily defend that they do any sort of jiu-jitsu moves.
If the hair pull's going to be a part of the game, we've seen a few lately. Some of these blokes need to go and get some tips off Johnny Opawati and Ben Elias and Cherry Mesher, because they used to reef my hair and give me the tip a lot harder than what these blokes are doing it. That's why I got none left.
It was a great photo. It was a great photo of the of Kafusi's hair on the ground.
Yeah,
wasn't it? But the thing, some people have said to me, okay, and this is, again, where's the consistency? Because Sam Burgess got charged and put out for pulling Billy Smith's hair. But the point is, I don't think Keary actually intentionally grabbed his hair. I think he went to have a grab, and because he'd been pushed away and Kafusi's hair was so long, he sort of almost hooked a strand of the afro, which just caught on his fingers. And he gave it he was moving his hand, and you could argue he gave it a tug, but the thing is, I don't think he really grabbed it.
It's not even an issue, is it, really?
Well, you've got to put it in context. Yeah. Obviously, Sammy, he's a warrior. We all love him. But there was a bit of history to that one. Whereas,
yes.
And he's got 1,000 priors. Mm. Whereas with Keary, he's a small bloke playing in a hard position. He's got a big edge back rower in Felice Kafusi, who's big and scary running at him. He's put one on his chin, as much as it was an open hand, but he did go after him, and the little bloke's just tried to defend himself.
Yeah, look, I've got no drama with it. No drama whatsoever. I'm happy with the charge the way it was, and again, for people looking for consistency, it's a similar charge to, it's a fine charge. It's a low end. Sam got the low end. He only got suspended because he had priors.
Do you, Brownie, would you bring Jake Friend back into this Roosters team?
Oh, look, it's probably the best person to judge that's Trent Robinson, because he's coached him to 2 grand finals. He's been his captain co-captain for a fair period of time. Has he been doing full training? Where's the other? I don't know all those things. All I know is that he missed a lot of footy. He come back and played a couple of games, and he's missed a lot of footy. The young kid that's come in is doing a terrific job. And is he... the decision will probably come to... with Robbo, has he done enough training to go out there and play in one of those bigger game and a big occasion, or can he carry the young kid on the bench, or can he carry Jake Friend on the bench? But the coaches will make the right decision. They're the best equipped. They know the kid the best. They know what he means to the team, and whichever way they go, people can say that it may not work out, but it'd definitely be the right way because they know what's going on better than anyone.
Yeah.
It was interesting, Brownie. We asked Greg Alexander this on Matty Johns' show on Fox last night, and he said, look, I wouldn't pick him because he's only played 5 games this season. And, you know, he's had a variety of different injuries. We now know that he's got a calf niggle as well as the issues that he's had with his arm. And the other kid's going so well, Sammy Verrill. So
he's going terrific. And, I mean, I don't think any of the Roosters players are going to have a problem if Sam Verrill runs out at hooker for him because he's playing terrific. But the thing is, Trent Robinson and Craig Fitzgibbon, Adam O'Brien, the people that have been at the Roosters for a long stretch of time, they know Jake Friend far better than any of us people that want to comment it, know. And they know what he's going to bring to the table. And they might want him to play for 25 or 30 minutes and think they're a much better footy team. They may think he hasn't done enough work, but whatever decision they make, it will be the correct one. Whether it turns out to be correct, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Mm.
That's generally the case. You know, it's like Will Chambers played on the wing last night. I'm sure he was the best option for the Storm.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. You got something for us, Hoops, before we
just had a message from Belvedere at Long Reef. He said, the way Luke Keary defended himself last night against Felice Kaufusi was the way Anthony Maroon used to go at Marsland College in Randwick when everyone used to bash him up for his lunch money. It was hit first, well, ask questions later.
Mate, I was the Cocky Laura champion 1981-82. So
Cocky Laura.
The old British Bulldog, the old Cocky Laura. So don't worry about me, mate. You worry about yourself, I think. Now, what I wanted to ask before we move on was that immediately after the game came the question from Billy Slater and other commentators, the future of Cam Smith. Cam Smith had this to say.
I don't know, mate. I'll have a think about it over the next few weeks and decide then. But I've said all along that, you know, particularly over the last, you know, 2 or 3 seasons, even though I'm getting on a little bit and the end is near, you know, I've been enjoying my football thoroughly. A lot of stuff to weigh up, mate. I don't know. Do you need help with that broodmare business or what? I'll come down and be your stable hand. I'll muck out the stables for you.
And then immediately on the back of that, I think Matty Johns asked Finchie, "Will you know him better than anyone? What's he going to do?" Finchie says, "I have no doubt." Brownie says, "I have no doubt that Smith will play on."
Well, the way he answered the question, he basically still said he's loving footy and he's really enjoying it. So his body's in good shape. He's playing as good as he's ever played. So just I don't see any reason for him to retire.
No, it was an unusual question because he's contracted for next year already too. And there's been no talk that he's going to walk away and not play. When Billy asked the question, I thought, gee, that's an unusual question to ask because there's been no suggestion that he's not going to play next year.
Well, when he signed for this season and then there's an option for next year in Cameron's favour. But as we've all seen, like, he's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He's going to be remembered as one of the genuine champions of the game for many, many, many years.
There's a chance he goes on the year after too, don't worry.
What I was about to say, I reckon he had his ScoMo hat on there. He was just playing politics because we all know, like, there's a reason Melbourne are trying to shop Curtis Scott and Brady Croft and other players because they need to make room to be able to accommodate Cameron next season. He's playing. Like, he's there. Yeah. He's part of their team.
And Cameron will play until they find another dominant player.
You're never going to find one like him.
And then the only challenge for Cameron is when he feels like he doesn't have the same effect on a game and his standards, because Cameron would play to his standards. And when you're that good, yeah, he could come down, you know, 30% and still be really effective for the Melbourne Storm, but not to the way he wants to dominate games of footy. And that's probably the biggest challenge for him.
And Melbourne Storm, in my opinion, can't afford him to retire at this stage because...
No.
They've got a young fullback in Papenhuyzen who's played 20-odd games. Jerome Hughes looks like he's moving into the halfback role, who's played 10 games at halfback in his life. So if Cameron was to retire and young Harry Grant comes in which it appears like he's going to be the one that's going to take the next step after Cameron, they're too young in key positions to then really launch a challenge next year. So I don't think Melbourne would be very, very interested in retiring, to be honest with you.
Did it work, Brownie? Like, Craig Bellamy... We saw him make the big call leading into September where Brady Croft was dropped and Jerome Hughes went into the 7 and Papenhuyzen obviously needed to get in the side. And Papenhuyzen, you know, there's no question about it, absolute gun player. But did it work? Because here we are and, like, they're close, but they didn't quite get the job.
Yeah, look, I thought, you know, again, when these decisions are made, generally the people that are making them are the ones that, because they lost, doesn't mean it was the wrong one. I thought, watching the game, I thought, if anything, Melbourne probably created one or two more chances than the Roosters, but the Roosters' great scramble defence and great one-on-ones solved the problem. Like, that tackle Joey Manu did on the try line, that 9.5 out of 10 times, that's a try. That was an outstanding tackle. Pappenhausen goes through, and they managed to bring him down. Did they create it? I thought in the context of the game, they created as much as the Roosters, who have got a test half, test fullback, test 5'8", but the scramble defence beat them. So I don't think, you know, Jerome Hughes certainly played a part in them losing the game. But what you did have was you had the 7, 6, and 1 for the Roosters are all very experienced. They're all test players. They've all won grand finals. The 7 and 1 for the Melbourne Storm, one's played 40 games and played probably 10 at halfback, and the fullback's played 20 games. So would Tedesco have done what he done last night after 15 games? No way in the world he would have done that. Yeah, no, would Cooper Cronk have played as well as he did after Jerome Hughes after 10 games? No, that's what experience does for you. They're good experienced players, the Roosters, and they found a way to get the job done at the end of the day.
Thing about Melbourne too is, like Cameron said it last night, he's been playing a different position the past couple of years. He sort of has this, it's a bit of an abstract position where he's half hooker, half back in many ways. He just sort of goes around. He's a bit of the Swiss Army knife of players at the moment. He just, whatever Melbourne need, he provides. And we've seen the times during the season where he pushed Brody Croft out of the way to take over the major playmaking role. Melbourne desperately need him at the moment. I don't know what they're going to do. Like I know they've got Grant coming through and obviously Brendan Smith there, but I just think that they're still looking for a halfback. The fact that Croft letting him go indicates that they know he's not the answer.
Mm.
So there's still a bit of work there, and Cameron's desperately needed at Melbourne.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL, it's grand final preview. Nathan Brown, Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordy Tallis, Maroon here. We haven't discussed the great story that is the Canberra Raiders in 2019. They are off to their first grand final since 1994, when, of course, they won the grand final. Mal's last game. That's Gordy in the background there doing the Viking clap. It doesn't work when one person does it, Gordy, but we might join in with you a little bit later on. We're going to talk about the Raiders. How do the boys rate this Raiders side, and can they win the premiership? It's all coming up as Triple M rocks the grand final. Triple M rocks the NRL grand final. Two teams that go through, of course, Raiders first through and then the Roosters. Raiders going for their first premiership since 1994. And, of course, the Roosters wanting to be the first team to go back-to-back since the Broncos 92-93. Scores all thanks to Tyre Power. Receive a $100 gift card when you buy 4 selected BF Goodrich tyres. And the play of the day, footy and CCs, where you just can't say no. Here is our play of the day from the week.
Inside of Papali.
Who deserves it?
Shakes off it. Papali has sent the Raiders surely to the grand final. There has never been a more deserving try scorer.
Yeah, great call from our man Dan Ganane. And I said to my lovely wife, Miss Portugal, at the time, Brownie, you'll never forget where you were. It was one of those tries, wasn't it? You'll never forget where you saw that try that Papali scored. And the Raiders, to their credit at the time, they were playing with 12 men.
Yeah, no, I think what they did in that, when they had the 12 men, probably summed up Canberra for this year. Defensively, they've, inside that 20-metre zone, they've scrapped and scraped probably better than anyone or as good as anyone. And Papali was the most influential player on the field. He was outstanding.
And, of course, he does play in the grand final. Gordy, tell us about, I mean, this Raiders side is full of players you just love to watch, and he's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Papali, you know, when they first picked him for Origin, I hadn't sort of seen a lot of him, and I'm thinking, well, it was strange for me because I didn't think that he was up to it. Well, fast
really?
Forward 5 years. Oh, well, mate, don't forget it was about 5 years ago. You know, they picked this guy out of the blue, and he was sort of coming off the bench for the Raiders. And fast forward, you know, 5 years, he's our forward leader. He's the next Shane Webke in our pack. And what he did on Friday night when it was a tough drag him out game against, you know, South Sydney, and they had all the momentum early, and every time he took a hit up, he makes an impact. It's very hard. He takes the toughest runs of the game, and he's a handful. And then when there's three on him, he can pop the ball away. And he just exploded. You know, I mean, like, when he breaks through those tackles, he's like 10-metre spurts are so explosive. I think, mate, he's got a great shot on him. Mate, he hits him as hard as anybody. Mate, I love watching him play. Love watching him play. And, you know, he's the reason. Like, it's going to be a massive battle because Hargreaves is going to have to try to stop Papali. And I don't know how you can stop a tank.
Is he the best front rower in the competition at the moment? Gordon, is he the first front rower pick for Australia?
Oh, yeah, I think he is the first front row picked. I think Absolutely. I think the way he's going, he's fit, he's played a lot of minutes, you know. Ricky put him off the bench. He made an impact off the bench. He can make an impact starting. And more importantly, when the game's on the line and it's about, you know, belief deep down, well, mate, he's come up with massive plays. He did it against Melbourne Storm about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And everybody thought, oh, yeah, well, that was, you know, like a front row, just sort of doing it. And he did it again in the biggest moment, you know, to put the Raiders into a grand final. I think he's had an unbelievable year, and absolutely he's the first one picked for Australia in a forward pack. He'd be one of those guys that you'd love to play with. He's so hard to get a shot on, too. Like he's just built as wide as he is tall.
It's interesting that the Raiders have that policy where they let the forwards, the props, decide who starts the game and who comes off the bench.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I find that fascinating, Brownie. What are you? Is it unusual?
Well, I think it's probably the state of where the club's at, and the faith that Ricky's got in some of the players. Like I've worked with Sia Soliola, and he was hugely influential at St. Helens when we won the comp there, and we'd had a lot of injuries, and I had sort of got taken there to move a lot of older players who were past their best, who had a big impact on St. Helens, and I know how Sia supports the coach. I've seen that firsthand, and I know the influence he has on, in particular, the other Polynesian players. So I think what Ricky's saying there is, I've got a lot of confidence in these blokes because Sia is an outstanding leader and Person X is an outstanding leader. If he didn't have that faith in him, Ricky wouldn't let him do it. But it's where a lot of coaching has gone today, where, you know, you have leadership groups and, you know, people aren't as much dictators today as what they were. It's much more player-driven these days.
Well, it's interesting when Laurie Daly was on Matty Johns' show last night, and he was saying how he had a beer with Ricky on Monday and just talking footy, as they often, well, of course they do. And he said that Ricky said to him that the big thing he's got to think about this week is not over-coaching, because that's where the players are at. And you know, every coach, as you get to that pointy end of the year, you feel important to the job. You want to get in. You want to make sure that you've basically ticked every box. And it's easy to overcoach, and some coaches come undone by doing that because it just becomes overwhelming for the players. So the fact that he's in that frame of mind too, I think augurs well for the Raiders.
Mm. Brownie, just talk me through that a little bit. You said that Sia Soliola supports the coach. A player that supports the coach, a senior player that supports the coach, what? Elaborate on that. He takes the message to the players?
Well, he's like an echo. Basically, if the coach or the coaching staff these days, you know, it's not just Ricky. Ricky's got some terrific staff down there, like Trent Robinson has. You know, things aren't just the head coach. It's staffs that play have such a huge involvement in the way teams operate these days. And Sia Soliola he'd be echoing what the coach and staff and really supporting no matter what. There's no 50-50 area with Sia Soliola. He's in. He's all in. And when you have players like that are all in, that have big influence on the club, you look at the Canberra players, they're all in. They're all in together, and Sia helps drive those things. So if he sits down with Sticky and has a convo, what Sticky says to him is that message is going clearly. It's not half going. It's not maybe this is good, or maybe Sia's all in. And to have that as a coach and with a player that's so well-respected like Sia is, it's a big advantage.
I like the way it rolls in here, Anthony, you know, like Gordon loves to come in, and myself and Kenny, and mate, you're the sounding board. Yeah, like, you're the heartbeat of this side.
And I know.
We need the canvas, you know, where you're at and the temperature of the room and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm your mentor, so I wouldn't... It's going very good.
Soliola, he sort of mirrored Ruben Wickie, hadn't he? Like, he started as a centre. He was a tough, defensive, hard-running sort of centre that got a few offloads away. Now he's playing in the front row as good as any of them.
And he was outstanding the other night too, wasn't he? His first 20 minutes in the game was super.
The history of this Raiders club, Paul, you probably more across this than anyone. Obviously, they came in 82. They won their first premiership in 89. Now, I've heard this chat where you go to the mid-80s and Canberra officials and coaching staff started targeting Queensland players. Then, of course, the Broncos come in, so they start targeting players in New Zealand in the 90s. Nowadays, they're targeting players playing in the Super League, and they've got another one coming next year, a halfback. But the ones they do have all been an outstanding success, the obvious ones being Bateman and Hodgson.
Yeah, look, it's Queenslanders don't... Look, and I say this respectfully to Gordon. Queenslanders, when they're getting presented with an option... do you want to play for Parramatta or do you want to play for Canberra? It meant no difference to them, to many of them. One was six of one, half dozen of the other, really. Whereas if you're living in Sydney, you go, oh, mate, there's no one going to live in Canberra. It's too cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but Canberra, when they went into the market, they found, in the early days, they found a lot of Sydney blokes didn't want to move to Canberra, basically because they just, oh, it's too cold to go down there. At the time, they were a struggling club. And then Canberra went out and got Mal Meninga and signed Mal Meninga, and he changed the club. Because Mal came down, he was already an international player. He toured already twice with the Kangaroos. He came down to prove himself in the Sydney competition. To Mal, I don't think he really paid much attention to the fact whether it was Canberra or any of the Sydney teams. It was just in the New South Wales competition at the time. And he came down. Now, once he came down, he made it okay for other Queenslanders came down. So very quickly after him, you got Steve Walters, Kevy Walters, Peter Jackson, Gary Coyne, these sorts of guys, and
big Sammy Bacco.
Sam Bacco. So you got all these. The Raiders actually found a bit of a hunting ground then in Canberra, where players, in Queensland, where players were willing to come, and they didn't have to go through the whole basically living here in Canberra argument, because they were happy to do that to play in the Sydney competition. Now, then what happens? The Broncos came in, and suddenly all the priorities for the Queenslanders changed to playing for the Broncos. So a lot of players coming through, and you look at that next generation, not the first generation of Broncos, but the next generation, the Darren Lockyers and blokes like that, they normally probably would have ended up in Canberra at some point, but they started getting signed up by the Broncos in the early days of the Broncos. So that's what happened there. So they then had to, Tim Sheens was by then the Canberra coach. He knew he couldn't go to Queensland any longer. So what Sheensy started to do was go to New Zealand, and he went over there and he found Quentin Pongia, John Lomax. He started to get all these terrific players out of
Reuben Wiki.
Off they went. And so that's where they started to pick. But then the Warriors came in 95. That ruined another hunting ground for them. So then Ricky has gone to England. And it started with Ricky ringing Brownie, I think, and saying, I need a hooker.
Yeah, well, Rick just asked me an opinion on Josh Hodgson, actually. And
wow.
He was, and I just said to Rick, roughly what you're paying him. And with what Rick was going to pay him, I just said to Rick, I said, oh, he'll definitely be good for you for that price of money, you know. I'll consider now, I don't think anyone in England expected Josh Hodgson to be one of the most dominant players in the game, though.
Yeah.
But we all us people that had anything to do with working or working against or with Josh Hodgson expected him to come to the NRL and be at least a handy player for Ricky, you know. But what he's done with, you know, Ricky's staff's obviously played a part there. They've helped his game, and, you know, that's been an outstanding recruit, that one.
And he was touring with the England side, Hodgson, at the time, and the Raiders were waiting for him to turn up, and they rocked up the train one day and they said, where's this young bloke we've got from England? Where is he? And they said, mate, did you watch the news last night? He's the bloke that ran through the door.
Remember? Yeah, that's right.
Sticky liked him more then. Stick gave him a pay rise. And
they just, I do worse than that most Friday nights at me local.
But they did that, and poor old Josh Hodgson, the next day they called him in, and this is how it was just oblivious to what he was coming into. The next day he rocks up at the team room in the hotel, and there are a couple of guys pulling him aside and said, listen, mate, there's a bit of drama over this. It's going to be front page of the news. And he's just like, yeah, bullshit. Yeah, having a laugh, you know. And they said, no, serious. You need to get your head around this. And he's like, no. He just refused to believe that it was any drama, because in England it wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Because it's such the fine rugby league in England, you've got to go back 8 pages in the newspaper before you even get a mention. And then it's, you know, down page. And down the ear, you know, it's not much. So he sits there and they're, no, mate, you've got to get your head around. We need to figure out how we're going to handle this. Nah, bullshit. Anyway, next minute the team manager walks in. As soon as he saw the team manager, his face dropped. Like, oh, no, what's going on? And manager said, mate, we need to have a chat. But he was good after that. Like, he got his head around what was going on, and welcome to NRL.
Has he evolved, like, this year as a player? Obviously, he's already played international football, Kenny, but
yeah,
this season, he looks as though he's developed more layers to his game. Is that fair? Or
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think he... Brownie's better talk about his skill levels than me, but he seems more of a threat. Like, he's understanding dummy half play, and you've only got to listen to the guys talking about playing up against him and how... You really got no idea what he's doing there. He's very good at just, you know, Denny Bedaris is great to talk to about it. And he talks about how he's always telling you lies. So he'll look left, he's going to go right. You know, you can never trust what he's going to do. He's selling you something So you get, oh, here's what he's going to do, and then suddenly he's doing something completely different. And that's what I think, that's the layers he's bringing to his game. He always had good skills. He could hold markers. He could kick well. Obviously, he had a little bit of skill around just with his pass out of dummy half. But now what he's really doing, I really think he watches a lot of Cameron Smith. And whereas most of us watch Cameron Smith and don't see the greatness of Cameron Smith because we're not educated enough to pick up on it, I think he sees what Cameron Smith does and think, oh, yes, sweet. Oh, yeah, and he's bringing that into his own game.
Yeah, I reckon the biggest thing with Josh this year, I reckon he's, because obviously he's been a hugely influential player for Canberra, and even though the past 2 years Canberra didn't make the eight, they were one of the better attacking sides. I reckon he's playing when he needs to play and he's not playing when he doesn't. I think his decision-making and when he does play is far, far more at the right time. If you were going to be critical of him in the first few years, he may have overplayed a touch, where now I reckon he's just got a real good balance where he knows when to play, he knows who should get the ball, when they should get it, and he's given other people in the team, you know, the right amount of time to do what they need to do as well. And he's probably, where he's at now, he's probably in the peak of his powers right now, I reckon. His next 2 or 3 years should be his best 2 or 3 years.
And sensing the moment, like those steals the other day,
yeah,
and to knock the ball, I think it was Cody Walker going for the try, or Gagai, one of them, to knock the ball out of his hands to, you know, just to get, and of course there's luck, but he's thinking in that split moment, like we slow it down, mate, on TV, and it happens fast, you know. So, mate, just his awareness of where he is and what his team needs at that time is unbelievable. And I think Cook may even, well, Cook needs to learn a bit from Hodgson, you know, because a couple of times he's gone down the stretch and he's failed to jump the last hurdle, I think, Cook.
Yeah, what happens with Cook, Gord, is if you watch his first sort of two-thirds of the last 2 years, he's been really good for South Sydney, really good for Origin, and then the latter part of the year, yeah, his game's been a lot quieter. And what happens is the referees put the whistle away, they don't police the ruck as much because no one wants the referees getting involved, and the ruck becomes a little bit slower, and all his best footy is off really fast play the balls, but he doesn't understand yet how to manipulate the defence himself. So if you watch Cameron Smith or Josh Hodgson or Mick Innes when he was in his prime, you know, these blokes off a slow play the ball, they can help the forwards gain more momentum, and off the back of the momentum they get to play footy, where at the moment Damien Cook doesn't know how to build that momentum. So if it's a slow play the ball and then he tries to get into the game, he takes some, makes some decisions which aren't necessarily the right ones because he wants to be in the game, but the play the ball, he hasn't earned the right to be in the game. So that's a part of his game which he'll need to develop. And you got to remember, Damien Cook's a young hooker. He hasn't played a lot of hooker at this stage of his life. He's still learning the game. And, you know, Damien Cook in, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time will be a smarter, more creative player where he uses people better than what he is today.
How do you do that then?
He's only played 100 first grade games, Brandy, but you know, like, it's a long time since we played together, but you'd get me in behind the ruck, you'd come out and you'd turn me in. That's pretty simple, isn't it, for a hooker to do?
Well, it
that's
is.
That's what he doesn't do.
If you look at Damien Cook, he was a beach sprinter who played fullback, basically. Gotcha. So he was an outstanding athlete, you know. So he wasn't like, well, if you look at Cameron Smith and Mick Innes and Josh Hodgson, they're blokes who were footballers who played this position all their life, basically, you know. And at the moment, Damien Cook's young in years of hooker play, and it's only just some little subtle things, but when he develops those things in his game, you'll see him at this stage of the year, when it's obviously the most crucial time of the year, you'll see him have better impact on his football side. And it's not hard for him to learn that, but it's not easy neither. It'll just take him a little bit of time, a little bit more experience.
So you and the little head are going to get a job, mate. You still be working together next year. You will.
Who's the little head?
Can you be quite up there in Brisbane?
He's got to think with the big head instead of the little head.
Right, Aaron.
Boys, you're the best, Gordon.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, see, subtle as a sledgehammer. Oh,
there's Gordon, a lot of comedians out of work, Gordon. You're trying to be one. Yeah,
he's one of the best, mate. He's one of the best. Hey, on a serious note, Brownie, it's fascinating listening to your point about the playmakers and their ability to read the moments in big games. Watching that game last night between the Roosters and the Storm, and Matty Johns made the point that Cameron Smith very quickly recognised that the referees had just pocketed the whistle, right? So he knew exactly what he was going to be able to get away with in and around the ruck area, and he knew exactly where he could push things to the limit and how he could try and control the tempo and the speed of the game, and he just read it to a T.
Cameron Smith's one of the you know, back in the day when blokes were not overcoached, I suppose, or played more what they see and played more backyard footy and that type of footy. You know, when you talk about people reading the game, you know, Cameron Smith's one of the better players of the last sort of 15 or 20 years that he can adapt his game to what's actually happening. So if a coach wants to put a tactic in play to try and limit Cameron Smith, he doesn't need to get through that game and review it to then work out ways around it. He actually adapts to the game in the flow of the game. And there's not a lot of players that can do that in today's game, and he's outstanding.
None.
Boys, who we need to discuss before we wrap this discussion up, yes, about these two sides of play in the grand final. You look at this Raiders side. Sean's Nicol-Klokstad's getting all the raps. Whiten is. Hodgson obviously is. Where is Aiden Caesar? What sort of a game does Aiden Caesar have to play?
I think he'll need to be better than he was the other day.
He needs to be steady, doesn't he?
Yeah,
like he doesn't need to overplay. He doesn't need to overplay his hand. But at the same time, you make a good point. Friday night, if they'd been beaten, there would have been a lot of focus on.
Yeah, I think for Aiden, I think he understands what his role is within that team, and if he kicks the ball really well and links to the right people at the right time and defends well, I reckon Sticky would be really happy with him.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, Paul Kent, Nathan Brown, James the Triceratops, the human triceps, Hooper. Also, Gordon Tallis is wearing a wonderful shirt today, like a Scott Cam Bisley arrangement there. I like that.
It's like a Gomer Piles. It's like the colour of mash.
It's like you're going to go out and fix something, but I don't think that's going to happen.
It's an army coloured shirt.
Yeah. You couldn't change a tyre, though, could you, mate? You wouldn't be able to start the dishwasher.
Mate, you're flat out. Anything you need to do. Hey, Gordon, what about this, right? Yeah. Anything he needs to do at the Little Bay compound, he gets a chap in to do. Well, whether it's mowing the lawn, fixing the dishwasher, changing a light bulb, whatever it is.
I can change a light bulb.
You cannot.
When we return, we've got a little segment called NRL Confidential, and we're going to do that for you next because Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final. Sunday Triple M NRL, we rock the Grand Final. Gordy Tallis, Nathan Brown, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. We'll have a preview too of the Grand Final coming up, the Canterbury Cup Grand Final today. Two of the older clubs in Sydney, the Jets and the Wenty Magpies. We'll have a preview of that with Mark Carroll live from his hospital bed because he's been bitten by a tick. More on that shortly. Right now, time for this.
The NRL Confidential.
All right, here we go. The NRL Confidential. Just a little bit of light-hearted stuff that's getting on around town in the world of rugby league.
Can we disassociate ourselves from this right now?
Well, I didn't think of this
one. Yes,
you did.
You've designed this. Did this come from the same concept workshop as Maroon 5?
And the new one that's coming next year, Marooned on an Island, which is going to be absolutely huge. But no, our producer Charlie White, it's a nice day for a white wedding. It's his idea, this one. NRL Confidential. And in this morning's Sun Herald, Dan Weidler reports that perhaps Shane Flanagan will be on the Dragons coaching staff next year, Brownie.
I'm not sure if that's a true or false statement, but I do believe that he should be allowed back coaching, in my opinion. And I think he's an outstanding football coach. And if he was to go to the Dragons, I'm sure he'd add plenty to the table.
Premiership winning coach.
Shane gets good mail, Maroon. And basically, the review that Phil Gould did came up with a recommendation that they can either go with somebody like Shane Flanagan or they can go and get...
You right there, mate?
He's gone. I just choked on a chilli. Or they can go and get a Phil Gould... They can go and get a Tim Sheens.
Right, right.
As a coaching director. Yeah. You like that, didn't you?
It's worked out. Yeah, you go and have a cop. It's worked out very conveniently, though, that Phil Gould comes in, does a review of the Dragons, has Shane Flanagan the other night on 100% footy, talks friendly there with the interview, which it was a good interview, but there were some areas there that were left untouched. And now he's recommending to the Dragons they put someone on like Shane Flanagan.
Well, they're both managed by one of the best, Wayne Beavis. Been around forever, and obviously he's behind the scenes in all of this negotiating process. And I think very good chance that, Flano ends up under Paul McGregor at the Dragons for a few years.
Yes, that's an interesting one, that one. This next one we're going to open up with you, Gordon Tallis. This is the one about the great legend of our game, the great Mal Meninga, will blow the horn for the Raiders next week in the proceedings at the NRL Grand Final. So that's wonderful. I think he's the obvious choice, Mal.
Absolutely. I you know, I sit there and I want to take my teenagers to Leichhardt Oval because I think there's a bit of romance about a Sunday afternoon game, and I think Canberra's becoming that place. And, you know, sitting there watching it on Friday night in the studio and the Viking clap and how the community's got behind Ricky and the team, and they have arguably the greatest Raider ever, or the first captain to hold up the trophy there blowing it. I think it's going to be a great day for rugby league, and have, what is it, 70-odd thousand people doing the Viking clap, and Roosters will have their 3,000 fans there, and the rest will be going for the Raiders.
That's not
mate, fair. Mate, you've got to be nasty. You always, like, serious, where do you get this from?
Because I got my mate. He keeps on texting me, right?
You beat the Roosters in the grand final in 2000.
Me. I know, and he's annoying me. His name's Frank. He's sitting in his rose garden, drinking a Chardonnay, just keeps on sending me all the Roosters songs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually just do it for his benefit.
3,000's being a bit generous, though, isn't it, anyway? Oh, come on. I'm only having a joke. Good on them. Good on them. They deserve
it. Listen to the Souths fans.
I'm mate. Good luck.
You love putting the slipper in the Roosters. Who's in the grand final, Anthony?
Roosters and Raiders, and I love little Luke Keary, so I wish him all the very best. And Fitzy, too. I've known him forever.
And Wally from Fox is a tragic East man.
Yeah, well,
King
Wally.
The King Aaron Wallace.
Oh, King, mate. He's a champion. He told me, why do you always get up the Roosters, and Roosters fans hate you? And I just want to let them know that I hate them back.
All right, what about this one? This is another one I got out of Dan's column this morning. Go on.
So basically, Rugby League Confidential is basically, I'm going to read Wyvern's column.
No, well, there's some good things in there today.
Is there any chance of a commission going his way?
Well, next week I might do something out of what you
I reckon there's a commission coming someone's way.
Yeah, righto. Well, you'd be wrong.
Yeah, you love it.
Okay, this one is about the Tigers setting up a hotline for any players or staff to raise concerns about how the club is run. The Tigers setting up a hotline. Brownie, that's getting on the front foot.
I'm not sure what they'll get at from it as far as a hotline, but I'm sure with Michael Maguire in charge, his last two clubs he's been at, he's been hugely successful.
Yes. Mm.
And he's left South Sydney in a great state, so I think Michael Maguire will certainly get the Tigers in as good a position as he can. Whether the hotline's going to help or not, I'm not sure, but I know Michael Maguire, their club's in good hands.
So who's behind the hotline?
The Tigers.
What a waste of an idea. Seriously.
Why?
The world's gone mad.
Mate, leave it up to the coach. Leave it like a hotline. All you do is get snitches ringing up.
And snitches. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, Gordy. Yeah.
It's like Maroon with Jill Johnson. What about how you've unloaded on her in the last couple of months? Right? Get the quiet tap on the shoulder during the week.
Yeah.
Mike Maguire coached South Sydney and left them in such a state that two coaches have come in and both have made the top four.
In 2 years, not
100%. And both have made the top four, both coaches. So he left them in a pretty good shape. Mm. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. I don't think he needs an anonymous hotline where people can ring in. And look, to be fair, very few, when people can do something under condition, it's like Twitter. If you can do it under the condition of anonymity, it's generally not good.
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm with you. I don't think. I love the bloke. You're preaching to the choir here. Did you have anything to say about the hotline, Gordy? Or?
I wouldn't have one.
Hmm. Well, it's funny because we, on the back of it here, we talked about it through the week. They thought it was a good idea, the Triple M management, so they set up a Triple M Sunday NRL hotline, and we got a couple of messages in.
G'day, guys. Just thought I'd call in, give you some feedback. Love Maroon on the show. I reckon more Maroon. Probably get him on Saturday as well. But just going to say about Gordy, mate, you reckon you could let someone finish a sentence? For you, buddy.
G'day, guys.
Bloke.
It's Luke here from McDonald's Annandale. Noticed that Paul's a little bit upset again today on the show. Just wondered if you wanted to call in a Macca's Annandale on the way home and get himself a Happy Meal, some free nuggies and maybe a little toy as well. Good on you, Paul. Love you, mate. Hey, guys. Just wondering there with your feedback line that you got. You've got Paul Kent and you've got Hoops and you've got Gordy. And you got Nathan Brown now. Does it mean Paul Kent's going to have to leave the show because he's got too much hair? Thanks. Keep going, guys. Bye.
Yeah, so keep them coming in there. Yeah. That's some good feedback.
That is actually some of your best ever work. That is very, very funny.
It had nothing.
That is very, very funny. Mm.
Do you know what? I love it, Maroon. You are man of the match already.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm going to get you a free massage at Misty's.
Righto. Well, I don't know where that is, but if it's going to be free and it's all above board...
Can I just check, Anthony? Had you eaten any gummy bears, or
why?
Had you had a couple of King Bre- I don't know. You just sounded like you were excited when you were recording some of those.
They were real, mate.
Yeah, they were impressionations.
And the, I think that's the first
your,
one
that's actually some of your best ever.
Which work. And the first one said a bit more, you know, bit more. Yeah,
surprise.
Anyway, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get serious again. There's lots and lots of things happening. Matt Lodge to be captain of the Brisbane Broncos. I mean, seriously, is this fair dinkum? What sort of drama's going on at the Brisbane Broncos? Let's have a talk about that next as Triple M rocks the finals.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.